The Giants lay another stinker, so we'll talk baseball instead. Welcome to the WGBB Sports Break. I'm Joel Blumberg. We're sponsored by the good folks at the Sunrise Health and Racquet Club. Sunrise Health and Racquet Club in Massapequa. Now's the time to be getting into shape all through 2007. We're also brought to you by Harbor Links, who wish you a very happy holiday. If you're looking for that late-minute Christmas gift, it's still available at Harbor Links, where great golf will be in 2007, par for the course. By Borelli's in East Meadow, serving great Italian food since 1955. And by Pip Printing, right people for right printing. The Giants lay another stinker yesterday, but we'll talk about baseball instead. With Jay Jaffe from Futility Infielder and Baseball Perspective. It's coming up in just a few moments. Hi, I'm Joel Blumberg, host of the Sports Break, and as many of you listeners know, I recently lost a lot of weight. Most importantly, I've been able to keep it off, and as a result, I feel great. While I exercised by playing golf during the warm weather months, I needed something when golf was not available. Well, now I found it at the Sunrise Health and Racquet Club in Massapequa. The mission at Sunrise is to help you achieve your fitness goals by providing a positive, supportive, and comfortable fitness environment. Whether it's getting involved in the racquetball program, starting a fitness routine, or enjoying a group exercise class, their staff is there to assist you in every step of the way. The Sunrise Health and Racquet Club is located on Sunrise Highway in Massapequa, just across from the Sunrise Mall. And find out how you can get a free week by logging on to sunrisehealthclub.com. You too can start feeling great at the Sunrise Health and Racquet Club. Welcome back to the Sports Break. I'm Joel Blumberg. Well, the Giants lit another stinker yesterday in losing to the New Orleans Saints. And I'm going to get back on my soapbox that's saying that Tom Coughlin should not be the coach of this football team. And I'm not going to say it because of the inability of Eli Manning to function, or of the inability of Tiki Barber to run, or the inability of the Giants to come up with a win when they needed it at home. There were things that I saw that I didn't like on the field. And when you have an offensive line that gets three unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, two on one drive, that means your players are out of control. There's one thing to begin an unsportsmanlike conduct call, but there's another thing if you're an offensive lineman, because that's the name of the game in that position, is discipline. This team has no discipline. This team has no character. They still may make the playoffs. They could do it at 8-8. But as far as I'm concerned, Tom Coughlin should not be the coach of this football team. They just don't give a damn about him. With Michael Strahan back, you still got to, when you're on the field for twice as much time in the defense that you are in the offense, there's something wrong. And there's plenty wrong with the New York Giants. After a great start, I'm not really willing to sell out Eli Manning yet. But I think there's a change of scenery needed. This team has constructed, and it won't be that way next year without Tiki Barber, but this team is constructed. This organization is constructed, is one of the biggest underachievers in sports this year. Jets play tonight. We'll know more about their chances next year, or I should say when we come on the air next year. When we come back, our guest will be Jay Jaffe. We're going to recap baseball this year. Quite a year it was. Not just only for the Yankees and the Mets. We'll take a look ahead in the future for them, but for the rest of these Major League Baseball teams. Coming up in just a moment. But first, let's get these messages. So let's think to the WGBB.
Pip Printing and Document Services can create, print, and mail all of your important business documents, from direct mail to catalogs, brochures, sales materials, marketing collateral, and more. PIP offers you the convenience of handling every aspect of your project so that you can save your company time and money. You can even edit, revise, and place your order online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one else can offer all of these services, plus PIP's outstanding customer service. PIP Printing and Document Services, your complete document services solution.
See Mark Saltzman at PIP Printing, 85 North Broadway in Hicksville. Telephone number 516-942-9500. Borelli's Restaurant in East Meadow has been doing business since 1955. When Borelli's first started, the Dodgers were in Brooklyn, the Giants were in Manhattan, and there were no New York Islanders, no Nassau Coliseum, or no New York Jets to train at Hofstra. When you're around that long at the same place, run by the same family, there has to be a reason. And the reason is a simple one. Borelli serves great Italian food with great service at affordable prices. Borelli's is located on Hempstead Turnpike, just east of the Meadowbrook Parkway. It's across from the Nassau Coliseum and right down the road from Adelphi University. If you haven't been to Borelli's, then what's taking you so long? Once you do get there, it won't be another half century before you go back. Borelli's on Hempstead Turnpike, just east of the Meadowbrook Parkway in East Meadow. Family owned and operated since 1955. Welcome back to the WGBB Sports Break. My guest is Jay Jaffe from Futility Infielder and Baseball Perspectives. And, boy, I think on this Christmas Day as this program airs, I find it incredible that with all of the negativity strewn forth about baseball over the course of the last decade or maybe more, that it, in fact, has become now a 12-month-a-year sport. And Jay Jaffe, you think that you're done when the World Series is over, doing your baseball reporting, and it's really not the situation at all. Things keep changing, and baseball's still on the front page.
Definitely. There's no question that, you know, whatever the drawbacks of free agency, it certainly keeps baseball, you know, on the front pages of the sports section year-round. It generates a lot of interest. You know, every team that, you know, was out of the running last year, you know, is looking to, you know, shop for those missing ingredients and, you know, kind of hope springs eternal, I guess, in you know, even in the depths of winter.
What has the emergence of the Tigers and the success of the Detroit Tigers this past year done with, like, teams that are frugal, teams that don't have talent, teams that are perennial losers? We see Kansas City actually went out and signed Gilmesh from Seattle, gave him a lot of money. A lot of people have questioned that trade. But is this more of what we're going to see now with the emergence of the Tigers and with the success of the Tigers?
You know, I don't think so. I think the lesson for the Tigers was, you know, basically that they developed their, you know, their own pitching from within. You know, the free agency signings like Pudge Rodriguez certainly helped to turn the franchise around after it lost 119 games in 2003. But I don't really see, you know, a parallel between that and, say, the Kansas City situation, because Gilmesh is not Pudge Rodriguez. He's not a Hall of Famer in waiting who can turn a team around like that. He's a mediocre pitcher.
And the truth of the matter is, the manager certainly made a difference. You know, people say that in baseball, managing has very little to do with the success of the team. Yeah, it wins you some games. It could lose you some games. But it really seems to, Jim Leland's hire seems to have really made a difference in the Tigers clubhouse.
I think there's definitely something to be said for that. I mean, you can't necessarily quantify it, but there's no question. I mean, Jim Leland has won in just about every stop that he's been at. You know, in Pittsburgh, in Florida, you know, now in Detroit. And he's a player's manager, and these young kids like playing for him, and the veterans do too. And you know, that's all part of the game.
Let's start with local teams' moves, the Yankees and the Mets, of course. The Yankees were aggressive to a point, but I don't think as aggressive as they usually are.
Definitely not. I think in an off season where we're seeing a lot of money thrown around, the Yankees have actually been fairly conservative. They've kept their deals to a very short time horizon, with the exception of this Kei Igawa, the Japanese hurler. You know, the Mike Messina deal was for 2 years and kind of at a below market rate. The Andy Pettit deal was for 2 years. They didn't get tied up with another Carl Pavano type contract with Ted Lilly or Gil Mesh or anybody like that.
They also got Andy Pettit. They brought back Andy Pettit, and now the interesting conversation is Roger Clemens behind him?
Yeah, I'm somebody who doesn't really get my hopes up about something like that. I mean, Roger Clemens is, you know, he's earned his place and he's earned his right to, you know, waffle as long as he wants in terms of making a decision as to whether he'll come back, because he's, you know, quite frankly, pretty much the best right-handed pitcher of the past half century. But that said, you know, his indecision, his Hamlet act is a little tiresome, and getting all wrapped up in that is kind of a fruitless pursuit.
Yet, I think if the Red Sox, as they've announced, plan to pursue him, you know the Yankees are going to have to, if just to appease the media and their fan base, they're going to have to make some sort of try for him.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, they'll make an effort, if only to drive the price up for the Red Sox, if that's what it comes to. But I honestly don't really see it happening. I think if he pitches anywhere, he'll stay at home in Texas. Because that situation certainly suited him well.
Daisuke Matsuzaka, the Japanese wonderkind, the most valuable player of the baseball classic, the preseason baseball classic, is a Red Sox. What do you think of that move?
You know, I think it's a pretty good move. You know, the Red Sox obviously spent a lot of money, but if you look at their rotation last year, you know, they were way too old. They had three guys who were, you know, 39 or older, and you know, they generally broke down, and they didn't have the depth to cover for those injuries. And getting a guy who's 26 years old in the prime of his career, you can't argue with that. He was by far the best pitcher available on the market, you know, even if the cost was pretty high.
Now, it's interesting because supporters of the deal say that the cost was not that high in terms of a player's salary. He's only being paid, when you start with the base, some $8 million a year. What do you think? Do you think the Red Sox still overpaid? I mean, you knew any team that was going in there to negotiate was going to have to pay a huge stipend. The Yankees offered, what, $32 million? The Red Sox, obviously, $51 million. And I'm wondering if, because that figure was so high, was it a good business decision by the Red Sox to make that, knowing that once they had the rights to negotiate, Matsuzaka wasn't going anywhere else but to the Red Sox. He didn't want to go back to Japan, and that was his only other option.
You know, I think that's a very good point. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think the next highest bid was actually the Mets at about $38 million or so. But if you think about the Red Sox, if they'd shaved $10 million off of the posting fee, they could have probably plowed that into the contract with no real problem. But yeah, you're right. They had all the leverage once they paid that obscene posting fee. You know, they called Scott Boras' bluff and got Matsuzaka at a yearly rate that, you know, is peanuts compared to Gil Mesh or Ted Lilly. So, you know, I got to respect that kind of move.
Talking about the Mets, Tom Glavine is going to stay at least one, an option for perhaps two. The starting rotation, if Pedro, in fact, does come back, is pretty much the same as last year, but a year older. As we tape, and from what I read, I think it's safe to assume that between the time we tape this program and the time this program airs, there will not be a decision on Barry Zito. I think, knowing Scott Boras, he's going to hold out until the last minute to see if he could drain every penny he can from the potential signer of Barry Zito. Is Barry Zito a right fit for the Mets? Everyone is saying he belongs with the Mets and not with the Texas Rangers right now, who money-wise at least seems to be a front runner.
Well, I think Barry Zito is a good fit for the Mets in that they really, you know, they've got two old guys in their rotation right now in Glavin and El Duque, and they can't really, they're not going to be able to depend on Pedro Martinez next year. He's not even going to be back till the All-Star break, and he's never going to be the same pitcher he was, you know, in his Red Sox days. They need a guy like Zito, who's a durable 200-inning horse, you know, he's not a Cy Young candidate type of pitcher, but I think, you know, Shea Stadium being a pitcher's park will suit him well if that's where he goes. And certainly it'll suit him a lot better than pitching, you know, for Texas will, because that ballpark down there just eats pitchers alive.
I've got an interesting, let's say, scenario to set up. Now, we know Scott Boras is going to ask for all of the money. There's no question about it. And he, if Barry Zito just chooses to take Boras' advice, he's going to go where the most dollars are. But is there, what you call that gray area of how much he's actually going to make in Texas, and how much he can potentially make in New York if he does become the king of New York? Endorsements, sure. More success because he's pitching in a better ballpark, more fame and fortune, for lack of a better term. So is he overlooking those intangibles, and is it quite possible that by overlooking those intangibles, is he really not making the best deal for himself?
You know, I think Scott Boras is as aware of those, let's just say, those benefits beyond the contract itself. But Scott Boras's job is to get Barry Zito the best contract he can get, and he's, you know, generally been about the best in the game at doing that job. He's not, you know, privately, I'm sure he would acknowledge that there's, you know, much more value to the New York experience, with all of its visibility and you know, the fact that the Mets are actually a lot closer to getting to the World Series than the Rangers are. But he still is going to, you know, play up the dollar values and try to get the Mets as close to matching the Rangers as he can, because that's what he does.
Now, I just thought of something as you said this, and it's interesting to try and perceive this. There are many baseball players who have an agent that handles their playing contracts, and perhaps another marketing agent or another marketing concern that handles their marketing and advertising and things like that. Do we know for a fact if Scott Boras is the exclusive agent for Barry Zito, or in fact, will Scott Boras not get any part of any off-the-field endorsements or anything else that Barry Zito might get as a member of the New York Mets, and that's why he's pushing more for Texas?
I can't honestly answer that. I don't really know. I suspect, though, that Scott Boras is probably a one-stop shop, given how good he is at what he does. That he's he's got like something like 80 people working for him, and I can't imagine he doesn't have somebody within that 80-person organization that specializes in getting the endorsements and that kind of thing. So that's my take on it, but I don't have a confirmation on that. That's not something I've got a great window on.
Yeah, because it's interesting. You look at Tiger Woods with IMG, you look at LeBron James with IMG, and you look at, with the marketing conglomerates, one guy handles commercials, one guy handles contracts, one guy handles travel, one guy handles this. And I was just wondering, and I think you kind of answered that, if Scott Boras doesn't, obviously, with his staff, rather large staff, he probably does. The Mets had a very good middle-of-the-road bullpen, for lack of a better term. They lost Darren Oliver. They lost Chad Bradford, which I thought was a huge loss to the Mets, because Chad Bradford, who didn't do anything with the Red Sox in 2 years there, had a wonderful year and fulfilled his role tremendously with the New York Mets. Mets have tried to make some other signings. What do you think of them?
Well, you know, I think the Mets bullpen last year succeeded very well because they were able to bring out guys that had a lot of different looks. You had Chad Bradford as a submariner from the right side. You had Pedro Feliciano going kind of sidearm from the left side. You had more traditional over-the-top lefties and righties, and then you had Billy Wagner closing it all out. Now, they've lost Bradford. They got this kid, Ambioris Burgos from the Royals, who's kind of the prototypical live arm. He's very raw, but he can hit 100 on the gun. They need to kind of bring him to where he can control it a little bit better. But I think there's some potential there. He's not closer material, even though he was closing in Kansas City. But, you know, I think a pitching coach like Rick Peterson can do something with that. I think the Mets also had some success with Guillermo Mota in that they got him to throw his changeup again. And when he comes back from his steroid suspension, he'll probably continue to be a big part of that bullpen.
And you got to wonder if in fact he was on steroids, the fact that he can't take them anymore, how's that going to affect him? You wonder if how does a pitcher take steroids and what does it do for them?
Well, I think for the most part, when the pitchers have been caught with steroids, a lot of them have arm injuries in their past, generally shoulder injuries, and they take the steroids during the healing process, you know, from what I understand, and it kind of, you know, gets them so that they can, you know, they can get back to their normal routines. Now, you know, Mota is a guy who's struggled with a lot of arm injuries, and he certainly fits that profile. I think, you know, he's probably in a much healthier spot, and I actually don't think that sitting out a third of the season as he is will be a bad thing for his arm, because he'll come back, you know, he'll be much fresher in August and September than somebody who's been working, you know, in game situations since late March. So, you know, I think it's kind of a both sides have their pros and their cons in that situation.
Okay, real quick, the teams that helped themselves the most this far in the offseason.
You know, I think just about every team that I can think of off the top of my head is a mixed bag. You look at the Dodgers, they had a great signing in Jason Schmidt and a horrible one in Juan Pierre. You look at, you know, the Cubs, they spent a lot of money, but they got a couple of decent players. I mean, I think in the short term they've helped themselves. You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. I do like one deal that I really do like is the Braves getting this Rafael Soriano from the Mariners for Horacio Ramirez. That's a power arm setup guy who, you know, could be their closer eventually for, you know, basically a middle of the rotation innings guy who hasn't been all that durable. That's a 100% positive deal for the Braves, and that really helps them.
Jay, I never thought that we'd be saying happy holidays, happy winter holidays to somebody who's my baseball expert. But yeah, Happy holidays to you and the family, and enjoy your trip out west. Don't break your leg skiing.
All right. Thanks, Joel. Thanks for having me on.
That's Jay Jaffe from Futility Infielder and Baseball Prospectus. And, boy, I think that kind of settles the whole thing as far as baseball is concerned. If you heard the beginning, football pretty much settled. I can't believe the Giants still have a chance. Well, that's the way it is in this lovely game of football. Thanks to the guys in the booth. Want to wish them all a happy holiday for coming in on this Christmas Day, and they'll be doing it again next week on New Year's Day. We hope you join us. Look at a bowl preview week, and it's going to be a lot of bowling going on next year. Until then, have a happy holiday. The program is brought to you by Harbor Links in Port Washington, and wishes you a happy holiday season, and hope you have a great, really a good holiday. By the Sunrise Health and Racquet Club, now's the time to get back into shape at the Sunrise Health and Racquet Club. By Borelli's in East Meadow, serving great Italian food since 1955, and by Pimp Printing, the right people, the right printing. Have a great holiday week. We'll see you next year.